Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. This month we have been going through the book of Hebrews. And we want to wrap up that series today. Over the course of this month, we have looked at a number of things already going through the book of Hebrews. The first thing we learned was that the Old Testament doesn't allow Jesus to be anything less than the complete solution. Next, we saw that we should not and need to make sure that we do not mistake temporary remedies for a cure. And then last week, we saw that we need to keep following Jesus because we don't know where to go next, and He does. Well, today we're going to look at the last couple chapters of the book of Hebrews. And there's kind of this situation that it deals with in particular, and that has to do with how we are continuing to live our lives and follow Christ. Sometimes we end up in these situations where we have been following Jesus for a while, or maybe some of us have just started and we get thrown into this situation. Some of us have had the experience where we go to a youth rally or we go to a conference, or maybe you went to a revival back in the day, or you went to a camp or something, and you had this great big crazy experience with Christ. And you just walked away from that place changed, and then you get back into your normal life, into your normal routine, and things fall away. Or maybe you've been following for a long time, and you've just kind of drifted. One way or another, most of us find that eventually in our lives, we have been following Jesus for some amount of time, and we end up slipping back into some of our old habits. Sometimes we think we've dealt with certain sins and behaviors in our lives, but we haven't, and they kind of just hide under the surface unrealized for a while, and then they start taking over more and more and more, and they become larger patterns of behavior. Whether that's how we speak to our loved ones, or how we manage our finances, or the way that we treat other people, or how we're kind of navigating this faith in our work environment, or not talking about our faith in our work environment, or whatever it is. But some of the things that end up happening is that we end up allowing certain sins to creep back into our lives. And those sins may start out very small, very subtly. We may start justifying them. It may be a lie here. It may be a compromise there. It may be something that we're indulging in our thought lives. It may be something that we're watching on TV that is something that we're taking enjoyment in that we really shouldn't be taking enjoyment in. Or it may be how we are doing deals, and we tend to compromise on how strict we are with following the rules. Or maybe it's an attitude that we have for somebody that we don't like, or we're allowing bitterness to creep in and we start to hold grudges against people, or whatever it is. But we have these sins that we allow to creep back into our lives, and they start small and then they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they become part of our lives. Other times, for one reason or another, we get lazy when it comes to our faith. And we know that we should be coming and gathering with other believers. And we know that we should be spending time in prayer. We know we should be listening or reading the Word of God. Or we know that we should be committing our finances to His work, or whatever it is. And we start to get lazy. We're like, well, I don't really need to do that today. I don't really need to do that this week. Or things are really tiring, or things are really hard right now. I'm getting exhausted. And we start setting things aside. And you're like, I'm not setting it aside forever. I still love Jesus. Still want to follow him. But I just can't commit to that. Or maybe it's something where you were serving in a ministry, or you were making a difference in your workplace and expressing the love of Christ in your workplace, and you take a step back from that and it's like, I can't handle that stress. I don't want to have those conversations right now. I just got to manage these things. And we start setting those things aside, and we get a little lazy. Or God calls us to do something really hard, and it might be, again, it may be in any of those realms. He may be saying, you've got to change your job. He might be saying, I want you to move. He might be saying, I want you to go and confess this hidden old sin to that person that you hurt, and you need to go to them and you need to make it right. Or he may be saying, you need to go to your spouse and talk to them about this thing that you're struggling with. Or maybe it's you need to go and you need to start serving in that ministry that you don't feel equipped to be able to serve in, or any number of things. But he's calling you to something, and it's hard, and it's scary, and you go, no, I'm out. I can't do that. I can't do that. And you back away from it. Sometimes we get distracted. We get curious about questions or ideas that are out there. We get interested in like weird like conspiracy theories or ideas, or we read this novel and like, well, maybe that's true about the faith, or maybe that's an interesting concept that I've never played with and I should check that out. Or, you know what, I've been following God my whole life and I've never really experienced these things. I wonder if there's anything actually wrong with those things. And we start leaning into those other ideas and we get distracted by that, or we just end up going to church on Sunday, or we end up reading our Bibles at home and we don't do anything else, and we just keep God and our relationship with God in this really tiny section of our lives, and we reduce him to that thing, and we don't let it become anything bigger than that. And the result of that is that it becomes harder and harder to hear God speak. It becomes harder and harder to notice God working. It becomes harder and harder to see him moving. And you start to wander a bit. Maybe you guys can't relate to any of that. Maybe you can relate to all of it. But probably in some level, everybody in this room can relate to something that I've mentioned, right? And I imagine that you have also felt the effects of feeling more and more distant with God when those things have taken hold in your life. This is what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read a few verses here. Verses 1 to 3, and then I'm going to jump and read verse 10, okay? Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we were respected for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of the spirits and live? Verse 10. They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. This is what I think the author of Hebrews is getting at in these last couple chapters. After everything else that we've talked about, everything else that he's laid out here, I think this is what he gets at in these last two chapters, the thought that he leaves us with. He's saying, you need to do whatever you need to do to keep up with Jesus. Now, let me clarify. I don't mean you need to do whatever you need to do so that you can perform as good as Jesus, so that you can be as good as Jesus, that somehow you need to work and work and work and do more work and make yourself righteous. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this image that Jesus is running a race and you are following him. Well, if you're following him and he's running, you've got to keep up with him if you're going to keep following him, right? You get that image? That if he's going down and you stop for a hot dog and he keeps going, well, eventually it's going to be harder and harder to hear him. It's going to be harder and harder to see him. And eventually he's going to go. He's going to make a turn and you're going to be left going, oh, shoot. Which way did he go? And so I'm not saying you've got to work harder to be as good as Jesus. And if you just work really hard, you'll become a better person. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. And I don't think that's what the author of Hebrews is talking about. He's saying that if we're going to follow Jesus, and Jesus is going to continue doing the work inside of us, and we're going to end up where he's going and get the holiness that he has for us, then we need to keep following him, and we got to follow him close. Because if we're not following close, if we're not keeping up with him, then the distance is going to get bigger and bigger, and it's going to be harder to hear him, it's going to be harder to see him, and then we're going to end up getting lost. And he's saying, you have got to do whatever you need to do to keep up with Jesus on this journey. Imagine running a race, and you show up to run that race wearing flip-flops. That's a broken ankle waiting to happen. Imagine showing up to compete in a swimming competition and you're wearing jeans and a jacket. You're not setting yourself up to run that race very well, are you? Imagine that you're going to run a marathon and you decide that the best way to perform in that marathon is for you to eat a whole big order of fettuccine Alfredo. Carbo load. And then you're going to run that marathon. Are you setting yourself up for success or are you setting yourself up for failure? And puking. No, if you guys are going to run this race and if you're going to keep up with Jesus on this race, and it says you got to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of the faith. You've got to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. If you're going to run that race, you can't be doing stuff that's going to break your ankle or weigh you down. You can't be doing stuff that's going to make you sick along the journey and make you slow down and make you get lost and make you actually get totally off the track and lose focus on the one you're following. If you want to run the race and get where he's going, you've got to do whatever it is that you need to do to keep up with him. And everything that is holding you back, everything that is getting in the way, everything that is slowing you down, whether it's the wrong shoes or it's the wrong clothes or the wrong diet, whatever it is that you are doing that is keeping you away from getting closer and closer to Jesus as you follow him, you need to get rid of. You need to run that race with perseverance. And the author of Hebrews actually outlines in these last two chapters, we're not going to read all the everything in these chapters, but he lists a number of things throughout these two chapters of what it is that you need to do and what it is that you need to not do in order to run that race well. This is what he says. He says that you need to endure. You need to simplify your life. You need to look to Jesus and you need to consider Jesus' suffering and to realize that he has suffered far greater. He has suffered far more for far longer than you have, and that if he can do it and his power is with you, then you can do it. And you need to consider that. You need to endure discipline, that when he corrects you and says, don't run that way, don't do that technique, don't do those things, oh, focus more on this stuff. When he disciplines you, you need to endure it. You need to go through it and you need to get better. You need gratitude for being part of a kingdom that will not fall. No matter what the world does, no matter who gets elected, no matter what kind of technology or change comes to the world, you are part of a kingdom that does not lose. You're part of a kingdom that is not going to lose. Don't let the world swirl with all these ideas and leave you feeling depressed and scared. Yeah, there's going to be bad stuff happens. But we follow the King of Kings. And his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says or does, they cannot break his kingdom. They cannot overthrow his kingdom. Hold on to that. We're not going to lose this fight. You need to love as Christ loves. You need to pray for Christians. You need to greet all leaders and saints. You need to bear with God's words. You need to remember Christians who are in prison and those who are mistreated. You need to honor marriage. Uphold it. Lift it higher. Make it more important than the rest of the world makes it. You need to remain humble and understand that it is God who is the one who enables us to run this race. And you need to be in the habit of saying, the Lord is my helper. You need to consider the results of how people live their lives. And not just the momentary relief or the momentary effect, but you need to consider the results of how people live their lives. You need to offer up praise to God. And you need to obey your leaders and let them lead you with joy. The author also says that there are a number of things that you should not do. He says if you want to run this race well and keep up with Jesus, don't sin. If there is sin in your life, you need to get rid of it. He doesn't say if there's a big sin, you need to get rid of it. He doesn't say if there's a really embarrassing sin, you need to get rid of it. If there is sin in your life, you need to get rid of it. Don't be easily put out of joint. We have all had the experience. Some of us have been that person, and we know, everybody in this room at least knows somebody, that when anybody says the wrong thing or says the right thing with the wrong tone, it automatically makes them offended and puts things out of joint, gets their nose out of joint, and they get thrown off, and there's all of a sudden some big dramatic thing, right? He says, don't get put out of joint. Don't make everything about you. Don't feed into bitterness. You need to let things go. You need to forgive. Don't even flirt with sexual immorality. Don't refuse Jesus when he calls. Don't neglect hospitality and taking care of others. Don't love money. Don't love money. Get it? Use it? Sure. Don't love it. Don't fall into strange conspiracy theories and teachings that may be very interesting, but don't lead you closer to Jesus, don't help you keep up with him. And don't neglect good or to share your faith. You can read chapter 12 and 13 on your own. I encourage you to do that. And it lists all these things out and more. But the bottom line is we've looked through this book and we've learned these things, and now he is leaving, the author of this book is leaving us with this idea that we need to do whatever it is that we need to do to keep up with Jesus. You need to get rid of what slows you down, what makes you less like Jesus, and keeps you from having a stronger impact on those around you. I mean, honestly, if something is keeping you from being more like Jesus, why would you want it? Why would you keep that around? Why would you think, can I get away with this? You've got to get your head in the game, because this is not playtime. And even if for some reason everything in your life is going well and you think everything is solid and good and you're just, everything is okay right now and the status quo is fine for you, the reality is that tomorrow is coming. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I can almost guarantee that there is a bigger fight coming for us. And we need to get ready. And we don't get ready by building walls and getting armored up and trying to be more offensive. We get ready by making sure that we're getting rid of everything that's slowing us down in our pursuit of Jesus. Not by hating the world, but by running harder after Jesus. And when we do that, you will find that you have victory over sin, that you have victory in your family, that you have eternal life, that you have a changed heart from the inside out, that you have a changed mind, and that the people around you start seeing those things, start feeling those things, and the people around you start being changed. And life becomes the thing that's contagious. Instead of the sickness, the life of Jesus starts to be what's contagious. At home, in your marriage, with your kids, with your grandkids, at school, at work. But in order to do that, you need to do whatever you need to do to keep up with him.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.